Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, July 14th, 2022, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3, we are on the verge of completing the paragraph on manifestation, phanero'o, which is the paragraph 1 John 2:28 to 1 John 3:10a. And then we go into the next paragraph, which is a fantastic paragraph on the sacred honor, of the Royal Family Honor Code and its relationship to impersonal love for all. That's the next paragraph, 1 John 3:10b through verse 18. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship with you and your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. As we've come to the end of this paragraph on manifestation, it's centered in the Greek word phanerao and the adjective phaneros. And those words are found six times from 1 John 2:28 to 1 John 3:10a. And then they're not found again, but one time the rest of the epistle. So this is a unique paragraph. And as we come to the end of it, it had a verse that, well, frankly, most Christians have no idea what it's trying to say. And not only that, most pastors don't know what it's trying to say. That's 1 John 3, verse 9. 1 John 3, 9. Anyone who is born of God, that's spiritual birth, regeneration, he does not commit sin. And you're sitting there saying, well, I'm a born of God. Wahoo! I do not commit sin. Anyone who is born of God, spiritual birth, regeneration, he does not commit sin. He's not sinning. Because the seed of God, God the Holy Spirit, abides in him. There's the key word. meno, John's favorite word, along with agape and agapao, abides in him. That is the believer filled with the Spirit, living the spiritual life. And he is not able to sin because he has been born of God. After salvation, at that point of faith in Jesus Christ, after you believe in Christ, you don't stop sinning. Every believer still sins. Every believer still has an old sin nature. And John has taught that very clearly in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John 1:8, if we claim, allege, contend that we have no sin nature, we are deceiving ourselves, and the absolute truth of Bible doctrine is not in us. And then in 1 John 1:10, if we claim, allege, contend that we stopped sinning sometime in the past, with the result that we no longer commit personal sins, we make him, God, a liar, and his word, Bible doctrine, absolutely does not reside in us, in our hearts. So, obviously, what John is teaching in 1 John 3:9 is not what many stupid Christians and unprepared pastors teach. So this verse, 1 John 3:9, does not teach that once you believe in Christ, that you will never sin again. And likewise, it does not teach that if you do sin after faith in Christ, that you have lost your salvation. Every believer commits personal sins after salvation. When the believer does sin, God has a problem-solving device that he's given to us. And that's 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, thereby restoring us to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. While we are in our physical bodies on earth, we will never arrive at the point where we stop sinning. As we live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and advance to spiritual maturity, we will change our brand of sin, and our sins often become more subtle. But we will never stop sinning. And probably one of the best illustrations of this is, once you attain spiritual maturity, the spiritually mature believer will stop all sins of the tongue. That's over. That is done. That's out. He will stop all judging, all maligning, all slandering, all gossiping about others. In fact, he won't even listen to others judging and gossiping. When the believer does use his volition to commit personal sins, he automatically steps outside of the spiritual life, no longer filled with the Spirit. Now he's grieving the Spirit, quenching the Spirit. Why? Because he's in the cosmic system. It is impossible to sin when you are living the spiritual life filled with the Spirit. The decision to sin is the decision to leave the spiritual life and enter the cosmic system. All sin occurs outside the spiritual life, inside the cosmic system. So again, 1 John 3:9, anyone who is born of God, spiritual birth, regeneration, he does not commit sin. He's not sinning because the seed of God, the Holy Spirit, abides, Meno, abide in him. The believer filling with the filling of the Spirit, living the spiritual life. And he is not able to sin because he has been born of God. In 1 John 3:9, the seed of God is God the Holy Spirit. At the moment of regeneration or spiritual birth, the church age believer is entered into the unique spiritual life, and the universal indwelling of the Spirit and filling of the Spirit occurs at that moment of faith in Christ. Unique to the church age, never before in any other time in history. Every church age believer is filled with the Spirit at the moment of faith in Christ, spiritual birth. And while he is in the spiritual life, filled with the Spirit, he cannot sin. God, the Holy Spirit, cannot solicit the believer to sin or to sponsor sin. When you are filled with the Spirit, you are living the spiritual life. You must use your own free will, volition, to step outside the spiritual life and sin. Sin is only committed in the cosmic system. The believer cannot be simultaneously controlled by God the Holy Spirit and the old sin nature at the same time. That is impossible. Your volition is the key. You have to take responsibility for your own decisions. Every sin of every believer is a vote for Satan and his cosmic system. Every decision to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills is a vote for God to live the spiritual life, a vote for God in the angelic conflict. If the believer remains in the cosmic system and refuses to rebound, doesn't believe in rebound, well, you become the devil's disciple. Here you are, a believer in Jesus Christ. You have eternal security. You're going to live with God forever in heaven. But while you're here, you have made yourself the devil's disciple. The believer living in the cosmic system is described many different ways in the Word of God. The devil's disciple, an antichrist believer, walking in darkness, living a lie, the enemy of the cross, the enemy of God. While in principle the believer has been born of God and cannot sin in the spiritual life through the filling of the Spirit, in practice, the believer has a free will and can choose to leave the spiritual life, reject the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, and come under the influence of Satan. So once again, the believer's volition is the major issue in the angelic conflict. Now that brings us to the conclusion of this great paragraph on manifestation. 1 John 3, 10a. Now you understand the chapters that you have in your Bible, they're not inspired. They're not God-breathed. The verses, 1, 2, 3, 4, they're not inspired. They're not God-breathed. So this paragraph, actually, verse 10 should have stopped halfway through verse 10, and then the second half of verse 10 should be continued over into the next paragraph. But that's never going to happen, so I get to explain this to you. And then I'll explain why. Because some of you sitting there trying to get... I look at your forehead, it's just furrowed, you could plant corn in your forehead. Whatever does he mean? 1 John 3:10a, the conclusion of this paragraph. 1 John 2:28 all the way through to 1 John 3:10a. Now the conclusion. And it starts out in this. En tuto, the prepositional phrase en plus the dative singular of the demonstrative pronoun houtas. En plus the dative of houtas is correctly translated by this, and it introduces the conclusion to this paragraph. It looks backward. En tuto, en plus the dative singular of houtas, looks backward at the paragraph on manifestation, 1 John 2:28 to 1 John 3, verse 9, and now it brings it to its conclusion in 1 John 3, 10a. So, en tuto, by this, is looking backward. It's looking backward to the manifestation paragraph, 1 John 2:28. And now, dear children, congregation of believers, students of God, keep on abiding in Him. There's our word meno again. That is, keep on staying in fellowship with Him, filled with the Spirit, living the spiritual life. Meno. For the purpose that when He appears, phanerao, the rapture of the church, we might have confidence and might not be disgraced, put to shame by Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, at His coming, in His presence at the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 29, if you know that He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is righteous, absolute righteousness in His deity, and grace righteousness in His true humanity, then you should have also come to know that everyone who manifests righteousness, attains and executes grace righteousness, has been born from Him. 1 John 3, verse 1. Consider how great, how wonderful, how glorious a love, virtue love, the Father, God the Father, has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And we are the children of God. And therefore, the world, people living in the cosmic system, they do not understand us, us being believers living the spiritual life, because they did not understand Him, Jesus Christ. Beloved, now we are the children of God, students of God, disciples of God, under the authority and training of God. And what we will be has not yet been revealed, phanerao, manifested. But we know that when He appears, the rapture, we shall be like Him. Our resurrection body will be similar to the resurrection body of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we shall see Him just as He is. And everyone, every spiritually mature believer who keeps on having and holding this hope, hope three, in Him, Jesus Christ, keeps on purifying himself just as that unique person, the Lord Jesus Christ, is pure. Everyone, every believer who commits sin is also guilty of lawlessness. In fact, sin is lawlessness. Indeed, you know that He, the unique person, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, was revealed, phanerao, again, for the purpose that He might take away, remove, blot out our sins. In fact, there is absolutely no sin in Him, the impeccability of Jesus Christ. Anyone who abides in Him, meno, living the spiritual life as the Lord Jesus Christ lived the spiritual life, he is not sinning. Anyone who sins is not seeing him. He's blinded to Christ, nor is he knowing him. Verse 7. Little children, teachable believers, let no one deceive you. The one who does righteousness, maximum grace, righteous production, living the spiritual life by the Royal Family Honor Code, he is grace righteous. He is a spiritually mature believer, just as he, that unique one, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union, is grace righteousness. Verse 8, the one who commits sin, who is guilty of sin, he is of the devil. He has become the devil's disciple, an agent of the devil, because the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was revealed, phanerao, manifested, first advent, namely that he might destroy the works of the devil. Verse 9, anyone who is born of God, spiritual birth, regeneration, he does not commit sin. He is not sinning, because the seed of God, God the Holy Spirit, abides, meno, in him. He is filled with the Spirit, living the spiritual life, and he is not able to sin because he has been born of God. That's the paragraph. 1 John 2:28 to 1 John 3:9, and now the conclusion of that, 1 John 3:10a. So by this, looking back to the paragraph on manifestation, and what is the, all the way through, again and again and again, phanerao, 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 five times phanerao is used, and then one time phaneros is used. And then that's all in a matter of just a few verses. And then it's never used again for the rest of the epistle except for just one time. And then we have the children of God, the nominative plural of technon with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of theos with the definite article. And you're kind of getting the hank of this word technon by now. We have had this several times by the Apostle John. T-E-K-N-O-N. Technon. And we noted, first of all, one, that literally it's a child in relation to his mom and dad, father and mother. It's the children under discipline and training from his parents. And that's the key concept with the word technon. Children under discipline and training from the parents. Two, figuratively, it's a spiritual child. A spiritual child in relation to God and God's faithful communicators. At the time, John is an apostle. That was in the pre-canon period of the church age. We live in the post-canon period of the church age. The communicator of the Word of God is the pastor-teacher. Three, this describes the believer's relationship with God in time. Technon describes the believer's relationship with God in time. Four, our major function in time is that we are under the authority of God, his word, and the pastor who teaches God's word. So we are in a time of training. Our major function in time is that we are under the authority of God, his word, the pastor who teaches God's word. We are in a time of training, training, training. Five, therefore, the best translation is students or disciples. The best translation of technon is students or disciples. students or disciples under authority, students and disciples in training, students and disciples in discipline. So the best translation is students or disciples under authority, students and disciples in training, students and disciples and under discipline. Sixth, the genitive singular of theos with a definite article is that we are students of God, disciples of God. Students of God, disciples of God, under authority, training, and discipline. Seven, the believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills is a student of God, a disciple of God. The believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills is a student of God, a disciple of God. And then we have the contrast. You see, here are the winner believers. Now the next phrase are the loser believers. Not only does God have his students and disciples, but also the devil has his students and disciples. And the children of the devil. This is the conjunction chi, and once again, it's the nominative plural of technon, but now you're not the children of God. Now you're the children of the devil. We have chi plus the nominative plural of technon with the definite article plus the genitive singular of diabolos with the definite article. The conjunction chi is a connective chi, correctly translated and ta techna. The children, the students, the disciples, but this time, now we have the contrast. Not winner believers, but loser believers. And by the way, in John, in 1 John, everything that he's teaching about Christians, believers. There are no unbelievers in 1 John except for two times the word antichristos is used for the Antichrist in the tribulation period, and he's an unbeliever. The Antichrist in the tribulation is an unbeliever. Two times. Otherwise, everything in 1 John is talking about Christians. There are no unbelievers. Just winner believers and loser believers. Believers living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advancing to maturity, living by the royal family honor code, sacred honor, manifesting sacred honor. And it's obvious when sacred honor is manifested by the spiritually mature believer, it's obvious. It just, well, you have a light that shines that the whole world can see when you have and live your life by the royal family honor code and you manifest sacred honor, virtue, integrity, impersonal love for all. And for the most part, you don't see that. For the most part, you don't see that at all among Christians. Why? Because most Christians are the devil's disciples. They're not the disciples of Jesus Christ. So we have ta techna. These are children, students, disciples. And then the genitive singular of diabolos. D-I-A-B-O-L-O-S. Diabolos. And we get our word diabolical from diabolos. As an adjective, it means slanderous. But when you have, as we do here, we have two diabolu. This is exactly how it looks in the Greek. There's the definite article, two diabolu. As soon as you put that definite article in front of an adjective, now the adjective becomes a noun. Now it's a substantive. And it doesn't mean slanderous, it means the slanderer. And that's literally what the devil's name here is, Diabolos. It is, he is the slanderer. But it refers specifically to the devil. The believer living in Satan's cosmic system is a student of the devil. He has a mentor, but his mentor is not God. His mentor is the devil in the cosmic system. He is a student, and his mentor is the devil. He is a disciple. He is a disciple of the devil, but he's not a disciple of God. So the corrected translation, by this, the students, disciples of God, believers living the spiritual life, and the disciples of the devil, believers living in the cosmic system, are manifest. Hey, here we have the word again, manifest. This is the present active indicative of ame, plus the nominative plural neuter of the predicate adjective phaneros. Phaneros. We've had phanerao five times in this paragraph. Now we have the adjective that comes from phanerao, phaneros. P-H-A-N-E-R-O-S. Phaneros. One, phaneros means visible, clear, plainly seen. Visible, clear, plainly seen. Two, it comes from the verb phanerao, which we have had five times in this paragraph. Phanerao, which means to reveal, to make known, to show, to manifest. That's why we call it the manifestation paragraph. It comes from the verb phanerao, which means to reveal, to make known, to show, to manifest. Three, therefore phaneros means manifest, well-known, evident, obvious, apparent. And obvious and apparent is probably the best way to translate phaneros. So the corrected translation, by this, looking back at the manifestation paragraph, by this, 1 John 2, 28-39, the students, the disciples of God, believers living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, winner believers, and the disciples of the devil, believers living in Satan's cosmic system, loser believers, are obvious. They're obvious. They're apparent. They are manifest. You get that? This is great. By this, 1 John 2, 28-39, the students, the disciples of God, believers living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, winner believers, and the disciples of the devil, believers living in Satan's cosmic system, loser believers, they are manifest. They are obvious, apparent. One, 1 John 3, 10a is a conclusion. 1 John 3, 10a is a conclusion. Two, so by this, En tuto, by this, looks backward. Looks backward at the paragraph on manifestation. 1 John 2:28 to 3:9. And it brings it to a conclusion. 1 John 3:10a. So by this, en tuto, beginning of verse 10, looks backward at the paragraph on manifestation, 1 John 2:28 to 3:9, and brings it to a conclusion, 1 John 3:10a. 3. Manifestation is the overriding theme in 1 John 2:28 to 3:10a. Manifestation is the overriding theme in 1 John 2:28 to 3:10a. Now, let's amplify that a little bit. So I want you to get this. This is why I study from the original Greek, Koine Greek, and the New Testament, and Hebrew, and Aramaic, and the Old Testament. If all you do is read your Bible, if that's all pastors are doing, they won't get this at all. None of them. Nowhere. Won't get a thing. That's why you go to seminary. And I sat under Ron Breckel, pastor, who graduated from Dallas Seminary. And I bring his name. He's in heaven now. I bring his name up. I know a lot of you are familiar with Pastor R.B. Thaim. Excellent, fantastic pastor too. Both of them. Taught the exact same thing and told all of us as communicators preparing for the ministry. You get as much Greek and Hebrew that you can. And I respect both of them 1,000%. They're both in heaven. And both of them said the exact same thing to us who are preparing for the ministry at Dallas Theological Seminary. But you know what? There's a lot of men that went to seminary. They might have had a few classes in Greek and Hebrew. But when they got out of that, that's gone. That's now totally gone. And now it's just get out my English translation and go from there. Well, you won't get this from the English translation. So, one, the Greek verb phanerao is used 5 times in 1 John 2:28 to 3:9. This is the adjective phaneros. It comes from the verb phanerao. P-H-A-N-E-R-O, long O. It comes from the verb phanerao. And the Greek verb phanerao is used 5 times in 1 John 2:28 to 3:9. 2, after verse 3:10a, it occurs only once in the rest of the entire epistle, and that's in chapter 4, verse 9. After verse 3:10a, it occurs only once in the rest of the entire epistle, and that's in chapter 4, verse 9. 3. The adjective phaneros, which we have here, In our verse, 310a comes from the verb phanerao, and this is the only place it is found in the entire epistle, in this paragraph. For this reason, 310a serves as a conclusion. A conclusion that draws on the preceding paragraph about manifestation. 228 to 310a. For this reason, 310a serves as the conclusion that draws on the preceding paragraph about manifestation. Four, that was point three. Manifestation is the overriding theme in 228 to 310a. Four, the children of God, that is the students or disciples of God, are manifest. They're obvious. They're manifest. They are obvious. By living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and attaining grace righteousness, spiritual maturity, and have virtue love brought to completion in their hearts. That stands out strikingly. It stands out. The children of God, the students or disciples of God, are manifest. They're obvious as a result of living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and attaining grace righteousness, sacred honor, virtue, integrity, spiritual maturity, and they have virtue love brought to completion in their hearts. Five. Also, the disciples of the devil are manifest and obvious as a result of living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. Because there's no virtue in the cosmic system. There is no virtue in Satan's cosmic system. All virtue for the believer in Jesus Christ is in the unique spiritual life that God has given to us in the church age. Six. 1 John is not an epistle that teaches who is saved and who is not saved. 1 John is not an epistle that teaches who is saved and who is not saved. Seven. There are no unbelievers in the epistle of 1 John. No unbelievers. Except for the two times that the Antichrist of the tribulation is referred to. And he referred to. Two times. He is an unbeliever. And that Antichrist in the tribulation is an unbeliever. That's the only exception. Otherwise, there are no unbelievers in the epistle of 1 John. Eight. Everything in this epistle is describing believers. Everything in this epistle is describing believers. Winner believers and loser believers. But all of them are believers with eternal security. Everything in this epistle is describing believers, winner believers and loser believers. But all of them are believers with eternal security. We got coming up in 1 John 4, again, passages that if you just read through your Bible on your own, you have no clue. And there's a lot of many, many pastors that have no clue either. And John, when he wrote this, the false teaching of the day was Gnosticism. And they even had it, they called themselves Gnostics. And one of the most famous Gnostics was a believer in Jesus Christ in John's congregation. In John's congregation, Cerinthus. And Cerinthian Gnosticism. All of these believers were impressed by Cerinthus. He was a genius. He was an eloquent speaker, persuasive teacher. It's just that everything he taught was false doctrine. Oh, he used Christian vocabulary, but it was false doctrine. And he was sucking all these believers into the cosmic system. Satan was a genius, and he used Cerinthus to drag all these Christians into the cosmic system through Gnosticism. And 1 John, much of 1 John is a polemic against Gnosticism. And John knows exactly what he's talking about because one of the top Gnostics was in his congregation, a believer, Cerinthus. And this spread all over Asia Minor and all over the world, which was the Roman Empire. So point eight, again, everything in this epistle is describing believers, winner believers and loser believers. But all of them are believers with eternal security. 9. The issue is, are you a student, a disciple of God, or are you a disciple of the devil? Cerinthus was a disciple of the devil and was influencing many believers in John's own church, in his congregation. And he was teaching false doctrine. He was a genius, eloquent, persuasive. It's the kind of, when you people listen to him, they go, oh, boy, wasn't it great to have been here? What did he teach? I don't know, but wasn't it great to be here? So the issue is, are you a student, a disciple of God, or are you a disciple of the devil? 10. If you are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and attain grace righteousness, spiritual maturity, and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, well, you are a student of God. If you're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and attain grace, righteousness, spiritual maturity, have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, then you are a student of God. 11. However, if you are living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, then you are a student of the devil. You're the devil's disciple. And it's sad to say, but in the United States of America today, Most believers are the devil's disciples. Most Christians in this country are the devil's disciples. I got my ears lowered today. That's what my dad always said. When my dad would go get his hair cut, he'd always come home and he'd say, "Well, I got my ears lowered today." So I went and got my ears lowered today, and I have one barber I love to go to. I've given him our gospel booklet. I've given him the gospel. I've never pinned him down to say, "Are you a believer in Jesus Christ or not?" He says what I've heard about. If I had a nickel for all the people that says, "Where's your church?" I'll be there. If I had a nickel for all the people that says, "Where's your church?" I'll be there. I would be down at the slot machine. No, just kidding. And I come in, I have my... Deb got me for the 4th of July these beautiful patriotic shirts. I wore my red, white, and blue patriotic shirt. And there he says, "I love that shirt you have." I said, "Well, you can't have it." And he says, "How's everything going? How's everything going with your church?" I said, "Well," I said, "you know, it used to be that the church was were the people that came face to face. Now the church is extended all over the United States and other countries. And they make up most of the church. And actually, they are doing phenomenal. I'm not sure exactly how the ones that are coming face to face are doing, but I know how those that are spread out all over are doing." I said, "But I'll tell you something else." I said, "People always ask me, how's the world treating you?" And I just tell them, "The world treats me like shit. But God treats me fantastic." And then he smiled. He says, "I like that." And I said, I'm witnessing, and you're witnessing the United States of America being destroyed from within. Forget about what's on the outside. We are destroying ourselves from within. We have met the enemy, and he is us. And the decisions that are being made from those in power and authority are destroying the United States of America. Now it's, you're great and honorable if you're a criminal. If you're a police officer in law enforcement, you're the enemy. And I told him, that is absolutely 100% wrong. The law enforcement people in this country, they should be giving awards, increase in pay, not defund the police. You want to destroy our country from within? Defund the police. Get rid of law enforcement. And the criminals will destroy the United States of America. And they're doing it as we speak. I said, "That I have a shirt that says defund the media." He goes, "Oh, I like that one. Yeah, I'd like to have another one, defund the Democrats. That'd be a good one too." Most believers today are the devil's disciples. If you have wrong priorities, if Bible doctrine isn't your number one priority, then you will be distracted right out of the spiritual life and led astray by the nose into Satan's cosmic system. 12. Believers living in the cosmic system cannot be distinguished from unbelievers living in the cosmic system. Believers living in the cosmic system cannot be distinguished from unbelievers living in the cosmic system. Thirteen, the devil's disciples do not manifest themselves in the same way. The devil's disciples do not manifest themselves in the same way. Some become very self-righteous, legalistic, and function in moral degeneracy. And others become very lascivious and function in immoral degeneracy. But the devil's disciples do not manifest themselves in the same way. 14. You see, the cosmic system, Satan has something for everyone. In the cosmic system, Satan has something for everyone. But the one thing he does not have in his system, there is no virtue in his system. And there's no happiness in his system. And we're ending this paragraph. We're moving into the next paragraph of virtue love. What it is and what it is not. And the cosmic system has no virtue. All virtue for the believer in Jesus Christ is in the spiritual life. We're going to learn about virtue love. Personal love for God the Father is the motivating virtue for impersonal love for all. Occupation with Jesus Christ, the other side of the coin, sharing the happiness of God. And in virtue love, there is impersonal love directed to all. God has impersonal love directed to the whole world. God loved the world so much. What is that? Impersonal love from God to the whole world. And he has impersonal love is unconditional. Unconditional to all. Personal love is always conditional. God has impersonal love for the whole world. Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid for the sins of the whole world. Unlimited atonement. And then God has personal love, conditional, for the few who believe in Jesus Christ. And then God has impersonal love for all believers after salvation in providing the 40 salvation blessings plus logistical grace, blessing, and support, which goes to all believers, winners, losers, good, bad, the ugly. They all come under this fantastic logistical grace, blessing for all. That's unconditional for all believers. Personal love is conditional only to the ones who live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and advance to spiritual maturity. And only them and only them receive the greater grace blessings for time. And then phase three, God has impersonal love for all believers. All believers will receive a resurrection body. No matter who they are, whether they are the good, the bad, and the ugly, they will all have a resurrection body to all believers. It's unconditional. Personal love is conditional only to those spiritually mature believers. They will receive greater grace blessing at the judgment seat of Christ forever and ever and ever that will glorify God. So we're going to see virtue love in great detail. Impersonal love, which is unconditional. Personal love is conditional. And the only time personal love is a virtue is when it's directed to God. That's the only time personal love is a virtue, when it's directed to God. Personal love in romance, friendship, marriage is not a virtue. Personal love directed toward people is virtue dependent. And you will never have happiness. Personal love will not make you happy. Friendship will not make you happy. Romance will not make you happy. There's no happiness guaranteed in romance. There's no happiness guaranteed in marriage. I could bring 100 people in here, and 98 could tell you there's no happiness in marriage. Personal love for man is virtue dependent. What's the key to happiness for you as a believer? Virtue love. And if you want to have happiness in friendship, happiness in romance, happiness in marriage, then your personal love must be inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all, virtue love. When you have that, marriage was designed for virtue. Marriage was designed for virtue, not for happiness. When you have virtue, inside the integrity envelope of virtue, now you can have happiness. But inside, personal love for man is virtue dependent. That's all coming up in the next paragraph. And then in the next chapter, chapter 4. And then in the last chapter, chapter 5. And maybe in the next 5 years, I'll get finished on this thing. And if not, I'll see you in heaven. I'll finish it up there. By this, the students, the disciples of God, believers living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, winner believers, and the disciples of the devil, believers living in Satan's cosmic system, they are manifest, apparent, they're obvious. Now that brings us to the next paragraph. 1 John 3:10b to verse 18. With our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.